It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, which we, of course, always love being at a little earlier in the week this week. He's Big Joe Dubin. Our on-site engineer, Sean Mark, is with us, and Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studios. What's up, JoJo?
What's happening, man? We had to move away because they got some big-time celebrities coming to this hotel over the next 4 to 5 days. And so it's always good to come down here and hang out and get a little food and stare at people.
Yeah, no, it's good. And they stare at us, and Sean Mark immediately tells them not to look at us and make eye contact. So we appreciate that. Snowmageddon is upon us, so that will be a lot of fun. You know, it's funny. I was kind of watching the weather last night and this morning to see, all right, when is this thing supposed to get here? They don't know. it's winter weather. You can't predict it.
And the news consultants are loving this because they could do their buzzwords. It's dangerous out there. Treacherous is a word that we do not use in our everyday vernacular.
No.
But I'll never forget, when I worked in news, they would come through, we got to do this, and it also became no longer predicting the weather, but you're tracking storms.
Yeah.
We're tracking the day. We're tracking a storm. It's going to be treacherous up on the plateau. Nobody uses those words. Stop it.
Here's what I want to know. Who tells consultants where does this come from?
Consultants are failed news reporters and news directors who think they can do things. It's like a lot. Some coaches are failed players who think they can get and they're just not part of it. There are some consultants who are okay.
Does it go back to the those that can't do teach?
Bingo.
Kind of thing, yeah.
But most of them are complete jackass idiots. And I've worked for several in the news business that were just awful. But that's like when it was dangerous cold out there. Nobody uses that.
No.
Treacherous. All these buzzwords they're going to use for the next couple of days. It's just a winter storm that's coming through. That's it. Stop doing everything else.
Can I rant for like a minute?
Sure, buddy.
On something. So, you know, we're down here at the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel, which I always enjoy coming to. But I'm to the point, like this morning I was like, I hate downtown. I hate driving downtown because most of the people that are either driving downtown or in some case walking downtown are idiots. And so I'm trying to turn on to Demumbrian to come down here. There's no turn signal on that light on 6th Avenue. So I'm right by the arena.
All right.
So we all know how this works, right?
Yeah,
put your turn signal on, you're trying to turn and everything. Well, I pull up to it, and there's a car that's just kind of stopped in front of me. Well, then this one car goes around that car. Then the car that was stopped realizes, oh, I could have gone, and they go. And so I'm distracted by all of this. The light changes. I'm like, oh, crap. All right. So I try to back up. Well, people just start walking without even looking. So I'm trying not to hit anybody.
Okay.
I'm like, you know, I get it. You have the crosswalk, but you might want to just make sure, you know, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, my bad. So I'm waiting.
My bad.
The light turns again. Well, there's this guy behind me that's just like honk, 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 honk. Like just all on his horn.
You or just in general?
It me.
Okay.
And I'm like, I have my turn signal. I can't go. People are walking. There's cars coming. What do you want me to do? I mean, he's like pulling up and everything. So I told him he was number one.
And then
he got, you know, he honked even more. So I just left the one hand salute up for a minute. And then finally I was able to turn, and it was just like, pack your patience, man. Like, what do you want me to do?
Right. Okay.
Miss my red light because it's inconveniencing you?
Few questions. What's he driving?
I don't even know.
That Toyota Tundra truck?
It might have been, yeah.
Okay. All right. Those are sometimes I get in arguments with them all the time. Kia? No?
No, on a Kia.
Okay.
It might have been a truck. I think it was a truck.
Okay. Here's the deal. You honk at me, I ain't moving.
Yeah.
I mean, I am not moving. I'm going to sit there twice as long now.
Is your computer muted?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over here.
I feel like I hear something.
I never did. It's your voice. That guy trying to chase you. He couldn't fight you.
But, I mean, it's just like, I mean, I know I'm not the only one that feels this way, and it's like this everywhere.
Right.
But it's just like, just be patient.
So when you flip him off, do you stick your hand out the window or
no,
is it in the
car? I just kept it up in my car. But I have the sunroof now, so I might utilize that this summer.
I do it all the time. I use the sunroof. And that's the thing I talk about. If I let you in traffic and you don't acknowledge me and wave at me, I'm going to ride your bumper as far as I can because I'm mad. Right? All you got to do is wave at me. Yeah. Just a simple wave. Hey, I'm letting you in. So do you get mad when people don't let you in? I do.
I get mad. Here's the thing. When I'm driving, I get mad if you don't let me in because you're just being a – you're like, we're in standstill traffic, but I'd be damned if I let you in.
Yeah,
you
right?
know, like, no turn signal. It's not that hard
yeah.
to turn the turn to use the turn signal.
Correct.
I mean, they've made it very easy for you now.
It
even turns itself off. Like, you know, just flip the turn signal on.
All right.
So I get mad about that. We're all impatient, but there's like different levels of impatient. But like for the situation I was in, of which like I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
I'm making a left turn at a red light that does not have a turn lane. Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah,
so,
there's nothing. You should know that. Be aware
yeah,
of it.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't hawk at you.
It's
for
not
that.
My fault that you were late. Like, that's on you.
Yeah.
So you don't get to get mad at me because you were late.
Okay. All right.
That's kind of how I feel. I almost want to like take the question of the day.
Do you
flip people off?
Do it. I like it.
Do you flip people off?
Absolutely.
When
I
you get
do.
Mad in traffic, do you throw the old one finger salute up?
Now, do you do the? I'm off camera here. Do you do that one or do you do the one with wings? Flip off. I do the one with wings.
I usually do the one with wings.
It's me too, yeah.
Because, and you want to know how I got that? The first person I remember doing that was Kid Rock.
You flipped him off?
No. Because when he was, all his albums, like in his early days,
right.
was the middle finger.
Oh, okay.
And he had the wings.
Oh, because that his airplane, the tail, has that.
The middle finger. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think he has doesn't he have a brand of whiskey or something that's like got?
I think he does. I could do that. But yeah, I always do it. My favorite, and I think I've told you this before, I cut off an elderly lady and it was downtown here and she pulled up. I didn't know what it was. She pulled up next to me. I'm like, here we go. And it was an elderly lady. And dude, she gave me the thumbs down. And you don't come back.
You just wanted to go home, didn't you?
You don't come back from a thumbs down. Because that's a level of disappointment that's hard to attain. So she gave me the thumbs down. I was like, this is awful. I'd have much rather her tried to fight me, you know, with Colonel Jessup or stand opposed. But she gave me the thumbs down. I was like, oh, man, this is terrible. And then I just drove off. But, yeah. Let me in traffic. I'll let you in traffic. I'll help you as far as you want to go, but acknowledge me.
Yeah. Yeah, acknowledge me.
Right? Just acknowledge me.
I mean, the thing is, like, I think people
– What a question of the
I
day.
I think people are it's afraid great. Of the one-finger salute now because, I mean, we do live in a – I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, there are times where, like, if somebody cuts me off, I kind of look at the car especially, and I'm like, if the windows are all blacked out, I'm like, I'm probably just going to resist. Well, I don't know what's behind there.
My brother's advice is like, don't get out of your car.
Yeah, no.
Once you get out of your car, you're on an island.
Yeah.
So my brother's like, you can flip them off your line, but don't get out of your car. So when you got good big brother advice like that, you just kind of like, all right, I see what you're talking about.
I had a situation last week. I was trying to leave the Music City Center after a Preds game, and – I was with some people, and they were driving. And so it's very slow moving. I don't know why. Like, if you park at the arena, like, they get you out of that garage.
Yeah.
Lickety split. But
right.
The Music City Center, for whatever reason, it gets backed up. And so there has to be some give and take. Like, you go, you let somebody out.
Yeah.
Like, and there was this one, but you got to be aggressive. You know, you got to have a little bit on you. You got to, like, show, like, yeah, you're going to let me out, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there was this one car that was just not aggressive. And, like, people kept going by.
Are you behind this car?
I'm behind.
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
I'm behind a car that's behind them.
Oh, God.
The car behind them got tired of it and so went around them and basically cut them off.
Like
so
it.
So dude gets out of the car and he's like, oh, you look at you. And he's like this little guy. And
oh,
I'm
no.
just like, oh, what are you? Just
oh,
give,
little
just,
guys.
I'm just like, just get back here.
Big man.
because he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't be aggressive. And so the guy just kept cutting him off. And
were you driving?
No.
Okay.
My friend was. And,
okay.
And then there was, again, there was a car in front of us that cut the other car off. And
so let me ask you this.
It was
this
pretty
then.
Funny.
And go back to our question today real quick because I think it's fantastic.
Have you ever flipped or do you flip people off in traffic?
That's a great question. When your friend's driving, do you – and they won't go around or do you what's your body language? Or do you say anything or do you lean up in the chair and
depends
like
on
point?
Who it is. If it's Ricky, I usually don't have to say anything because right. He's going to be aggressive. But if it's Ricky, I don't care. I'm gonna
well, he's
say,
in that big coupe DeVille.
And vice versa. Like I'm in a group text this morning where he actually said, I remember when Chase nearly cursed me out in Cincinnati when we were driving downtown because I hate driving downtown.
Right.
In which I said, I've cursed you out in many downtowns. Because Ricky's, like, yelling out the window, like, hey, you stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, shut up.
Just don't get out of your car. You're good, man.
let's see. People are saying no flip-offs. Scott says, be careful about flipping folks off. Last year in Mount Juliet, some guy behind me laid on his horn at me for a reason beyond my control, so I flipped him off. And 3 seconds later, he was outside my window flipping me off and pointing a gun at me. I don't flip people off anymore. That look, I get that. That is a concern nowadays, like that people just kind of flip and do that.
Well, it depends on how egregious you've cut this person off. If you cut them off or him into a ditch, there's no excuse. You shouldn't never pull a gun. But
yeah. Do you ever do the – and there was a comedy bit one time that this is kind of how white people do it. But do you ever do the okay? Like somebody cuts you off, you're like, you kind of hold hey, good job, buddy.
Right? All the time. Just, you got to get mad at some level of that. But I'm all for flipping off, man.
I feel better. We had a little bit of a therapy session this
But that's what's come to Nashville traffic has done this to us.
Yeah.
None of the lights are in sync. You don't have a turning lane when you come down here for that, so they're honking at you for doing that. Then if you try to move over, well, there's people trying to cross the road, and then they give you that look like, what are you doing? And just all the pedestrian crossways down here backs up traffic. And I get it. You need for all that, but my goodness, man.
My thing is, like, they're all – and look, we have great city leaders that, doing a fine job, but the big thing that has been discussed is a transit plan and a traffic – you know, to fix the traffic and all that stuff, and I'm like – guys, the genie's out of the bottle. You should have addressed this 20 years ago.
There's no traffic plan.
No. What are you going to do? Build a double-decker highway?
That's it.
You're going to put
actually it.
You're going to have helicopters, like, running around? Like, what are you going to do?
I think the only solution is you've got to go up.
Yeah.
That's 20 years.
Like, we have no parking because we're building buildings on parking lots. Like, you know, I was looking at somebody did, like, posted an aerial shot of the new stadium, right? And it's coming along. And I'm like, huh. So they can tear the old stadium down and there is a parking lot, which they're probably not going to do. They're going to do something else with it. And it's like there's no parking.
They're putting high rises there allegedly or something?
Right. They don't replace the parking.
Let me ask you this. All right. You're coming into town. I'm in favor of making around town one way. Like nine lanes all across town. If you want to get off, you're coming in from the east, you get over West End, you got to go around the city, and you'll be able to get over and get to the left lane and get off on West End.
I'm okay building a wall that basically says you can't move here.
They're not stopping for that.
We're full.
So there is no solution. So the solution is just to flip people off.
Yeah.
That's it.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Clearly, I needed that today. So that's our question of the day. Do you
like
flip
it.
People off in traffic?
I absolutely love it.
615-737-1025. Hal Gill going to join us at 9:30. Nashville SC gets their season started here soon. We're going to talk to Mike Jacobs, their general manager, later in the show at 10:30. A lot of changes with Nashville SC this year, so we will talk to them. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, watch it! Did you see that guy? He just gave me the finger!
You sure?
Oh, yeah! Middle finger straight up at me! At us!
What are you doing?
I'm following him.
No one gives us the finger! We're Yankees!
little George Costanza on a Tuesday morning. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. We have some fun. Little road rage this morning, really directed at me, but I kind of gave it back. So our question of the day is, do you flip people off when you're upset while driving? Mike on Kentucky Lake has a great one. Many years ago, I was driving at night and was being tailgated by some clown with his bright lights on. And I couldn't see them, so I gave them the old number one salute, and immediately blue lights came on.
Oh, no.
I do still flip people off in traffic, but I don't do it at night when I can't see who's behind me. Well, why was the cop tailgating you?
True.
You yeah. know, I mean.
Right.
On. I mean, that's a thing, too. Patrick, since moving to Nashville 6 years ago, the amount I have flipped someone off is well into the thousands. I'm a native New Yorker, and we just get it all out one at a time. We don't let it bottle up. Always flip people off if they piss you off.
There we go. Yes. Unlike the West Coast people, let things bottle up inside of them. Our Yankee friends just let it all out right then. Boom. Yell at you.
Devin and Dixon, I'm a rural mail carrier, and if you tailgate me while I'm about to service a box, you absolutely get the double Kid Rock birds.
Can you read that again?
Nope.
I don't think we can say that on the radio.
We just
damn
did.
Damn you, Devin.
David, I'm from New Jersey, and I have to do it. 9064 says birds are flying out of daily basis.
I think we all need to admit you. This. We all need to freely admit this.
Let's see. 7948 says, I'll put my whole arm out the window and give them a sarcastic thumbs up when they won't let me over. That's a good one. People are also saying the thumbs down is
good.
Definitely
yeah.
the way to go.
Now, if you let me in traffic, I will go out of my way to thank you. Sunroof, arm, everything. And I will repay the favor going on. But, man, if I let a guy cross the other day on Lebanon Road, he's going to Shipley's Donuts, if you know what I'm talking about, people, and we stopped traffic, he cut through, and he didn't wait or anything. So I roll my window down and I yell at him as we drive off. It did nothing, right? But it for that moment, it satisfied me. So just wave at people.
Yeah, that's the other thing that pisses me off, when people don't do the courtesy wave.
Yep, that's it.
I always do. Like, you let me in, I go, hey, appreciate it.
That's it. Pretty simple.
Blake says, I don't flip people off. I honk, stare, and or clap at them, and I usually throw my hands up, and I get quite demonstrative. But if I do something wrong, I do own up to it.
Yes.
I do
good
like
one.
The clap. Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, and look, we
thank
all
you.
Mess up.
Yes,
I do like the clap. You know, like you clap.
The sarcastic clap.
Yeah,
that's always a good one.
Yeah,
because you know you've done like, oh god, you know you've done something, or if you do to somebody else. But
now
again,
I will say this.
Yeah,
and Ricky knows this because I've yelled at him about this before. If I'm driving, the bird is my prerogative. The passenger does not get to do it.
Good point.
If the passenger does it before me, I get mad.
Yep.
Because, like, no, you've now taken my right away from me.
Because you may end up not having to do that, and they do it, and you get your ass kicked.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You determine the severity and the level of whether or not you should flip somebody off. And I get it. And I just think it's even more now. I mean, it's not a downtown. It's a neighborhood. It's a rural thing. Happens all the time. But if you honk at me, like somebody honked at you, I'm telling you, man, I am sitting there through two red lights. At least.
Yeah.
Just because I'm mad now.
Let's go to Wes, who wants to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Wes, what's up?
Morning, fellas. I have a scenario I want to put y'all in traffic, and I want y'all to tell me how y'all would react. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going down Murfreesboro Road. I guess I won't say me. This didn't happen like 30 minutes ago. So, yeah. I was in bumper-to-bumper traffic. You know, it's stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. So I finally got towards the end of that where traffic started to open up. So everybody in front of me started to gas it, to take off. So as soon as I started to gas it, everybody that was in front of me that was pressing the gas pressed the brakes. So to avoid hitting somebody in the rear end, I went over to the left side, which is the turning lane. Well, there's nowhere to turn. It's just a turning, but there's absolutely nowhere to turn. It's just a big, long straightaway. So as soon as everybody gets ready to take off and start going, The guy that was behind me floors it into my spot, refuses to let me over. So I'm stuck in the turning lane for about 7 or 8 cars. What are you guys? I'm not going to tell you what I said or what I did to the gentleman that was behind me, but I'm just curious, how would you guys play your cards at that hand?
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
I'd flip him off.
Yeah, I'd flip him off. Yeah. I'd still be – I mean, I think you're in the right there. I mean, you were doing everything you could. People just the thing is, Wes, and it's becoming worse and worse and worse in Nashville, that – When there's traffic and a lot of people out, people just become stupid.
I grew an extra middle finger this morning, if that helps. So
yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit.
Thanks, guys. I feel better now. I don't feel like I just blew a gasket here. So I appreciate it.
Well, hey, don't die on us, okay? Yeah. That's the main thing.
Please don't, and let us know what that ESPN notification was too. Thanks, Wes. Appreciate you. I heard the Sports Center. What did something happen? Something big happen?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Must not have been important. Nevada Josh, if you're in the passenger seat, can you moon them before the driver flips the bird?
If you can contort your body to do that, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can do it all day long.
6877, blow him a kiss. It throws him off.
Oh, that does. That's a smart ass kind of boom to you. Yep.
Byron, never applauded someone. That sounds awesome. That's a good one. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to this a little later on. Thank you all for having fun with us this morning, because that's what we like to do. We like to laugh and have a good time. But coming up next, the Four Nations tournament continues. The U.S. and Sweden played last night. We'll get Hal Gill's thoughts on that, and also some of the Preds involved as they move forward with their season, which returns on Saturday. Skillsy joins us next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel today at Kitchen Notes. Dr. Crane is back in the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The Four Nations tournament has been going on, and I got to tell you, it has been very, very exciting. Sweden defeated the U.S. last night 2-1. The U.S. did sit a few guys. They're in the championship game. They will play Canada Thursday night for all the marbles. We look forward to that matchup once again, because it was such a fun game. We say hello now to Hal Gill, who joins us here on the program, Predators analyst. Skillsy, the Four Nations has been a lot of fun, hasn't it?
It's been awesome. I was blown away. You know what? When they started talking about that, you know, early in the season, it's the build up. You know, I was expecting guys to go play hard. It's for your country. It's. I didn't expect it to be this hard, though. It's crazy. It's like the speed of this game and the way they're playing and the pace, the intensity. It kind of blows my mind. Like even that game last night, U.S. and Sweden. You know, they're going out, and the game doesn't mean anything. Like, it's, you know, the Sweden isn't going to get in. They're still going and battling. Brady Tkachuk is out there running around smoking guys, and it's crazy. I do wonder how much the NHL and the owners are going to be like, we can't do this type of tournament during the season, because it's not the Olympics. The Olympics, I think, is a different beast, but this is becoming – something pretty special and so fun to watch. I've enjoyed it. So I can't wait for Thursday night. That'll be awesome. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I know it's going to be entertaining.
Well, you know how international tournaments can be. I mean, there's a lot of pride and everything, especially when you have, you know, the Olympics or the Worlds or whatever it may be. But in this situation, since there's only four, you know, I feel like it's almost elevated, and it's kind of like, you know, you've combined an international tournament with an all-star game, with a regular NHL, like, rivalry game. But the fact that you have guys that are teammates, you know, regularly now going against each other, it's been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? The funny part is I played in 5 world championships, and you know, there's competitive, and then there's that extra snarl when you have a rivalry, and Canada for the U.S. has always been that rivalry, like, you know, going toe-to-toe. And the World Championships, it was – those games are awesome because we are just trying to go, you know, two physical teams that would battle and play hard. And Canada was always had that swagger that they were just the toughest and the meanest. And when it comes down to grit, Canada is going to be the bully. And after watching the World Juniors, where the U.S. played a more physical game and ended up winning that tournament, and Canada – coming into this, like I think the U.S. has kind of bullied them with the Tkachuks going out there and chucking the knuckles and Miller getting involved in it. I think this is the first time I've seen Canada be the less physical team. And so it's a passing of the torch, I think. And now I'm waiting to see the response, right? Canada's got to come out and battle and show that fire that they can play a physical, hard game. And so it's escalating, and I think that's great for sports is because people are seeing best on best, but not just best on best like in an all-star game, but best on best that they care. I mean, they're giving it everything they got, blocking shots and taking hits and giving hits, you know, chucking nucks if they need to, whatever it takes to get this. So it's a great way to see some of the best hockey you'll ever see.
You know, Hal, you know all the people across the league, they had to be ecstatic once this, you know, 9 seconds into the game, three fights, everything. You know, the purest hockey fans are just loving this. I know fighting has been kind of, you know, shut. You know, we don't want to do that anymore. But I'm telling you, my entire feed Saturday night, Hal, was about the fight. And I think people like, all right, what's going on? I think it's good for the sport. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, you know what? The reason – it's so awesome is because these are the best on best. You don't have, you know, and no offense to, you know, probably my game and other guys that I played with that were out there, you know, just grinding it down and slowing down the game and, you know, getting in fights and just trying to stay relevant and setting the tone with it, with fights. This is great players that are going and fighting each other. You know, Bennett and Tkachuk is, you know, they're both great players and they're out there swinging. And so I think when you put the skill of great players and give them that tenacity and that toughness, I think that's what makes it awesome. And that's what the great part of the NHL and hockey in general is that you can fight, you can settle scores, you can change momentum in a game, you can set the tone. All this stuff that fighting is good for is being showcased and not just a couple meatheads that really don't have an impact on the game other than fighting. And so I think that's the fun part for me is, and I think, you know, the rest of the world kind of saw what, you know, I don't want to say good fights. There's no such thing as good fighting, right? You tell your kids
right.
That, but this is good fighting. Like this is what it's made for, and this is what it should be all about. And so that's what I think the rest of the world saw is, okay, this is what real fighting is about, and this is how it impacts a game, and this is how the USA went out and set the tone.
Well, you think there'll be an edict come down from on high for the championship game? All right, don't do this again. We don't need this. This isn't good, blah, blah, blah. And do you think that edict will be ignored by the players?
You know what? It's funny because, you know, the TNT desk was talking about it and said, well, there's only one way to play, and that's, I think Paul Bissonnette so eloquently described balls out hockey. I think you have to play a hard game, but you don't need to throw yourself at guys, especially in a game that doesn't mean anything. You know, it's a one game rundown on Thursday. You know, I'd like to see these guys not go out and try to kill each other and just play the game hard, but there's something to be said for, hey, I'm going to set the tone with a big hit. If one of the Tkachuks goes out, or any U.S. player for that matter, goes out and runs someone and gets a big hit, the Boston Garden is going to go insane. You know, like it's going to be loud. It's going to be awesome. And that's going to get the momentum going. So I think these guys care too much about winning to not go all out. And I'm sure there's been the emails, initiatives, notes on the bulletin board, like, hey, guys, like this is a fun game. Let's keep it clean. But I think there's also a mindset that we're going to win and we're going to do whatever it takes to win. And so I think you're going to see guys ignoring all the initiatives and all the bulletin board material.
Hal Gill is with us. You know, I know Preds fans were hoping to see UC Saros go into this tournament and have a good tournament, you know, unless it was against the U.S. I certainly understand the pride thing, but he had a rough outing. He does come back in yesterday, doesn't give up a goal. How do you think that this affects his confidence? Because I know that's been a big topic of conversation that we've had lately with Juice and his confidence.
Yeah, well, don't forget, you're also playing against, not just four first lines, but four, like, really good first lines combined with the best players of every line on every team. And so, you know, I think you take what you can out of this tournament. And, yeah, you want to get some momentum, and you're hoping Juice goes and finds his game and plays well. But you also take it with a grain of salt because, you know, everywhere you look, there's another shot that's elite level that's better than – you know, you might play against, I don't know, pick any NHL team and have three or four guys that you're worried about on each team. And with this, you're worried about every guy on the ice. Throw in the defensemen as well. Like, these guys are coming down and every one of them can light you up. And so I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. It's a battle in this tournament. The best on best is just that for a reason. Like, these guys are good. So I think, you know, you learn a lot. These games are faster than any game I've seen this season. So, you know, coming back, I think all these players are going to go, oh, whoa, okay, this game slowed down, and the NHL, as fast as it is, isn't even close to the level that they're playing in this Four Nations.
How they come back, they got four games in 6 days. Likely these games are at home. What do you need to see from the Preds when they hit this last half part of the season?
I think you get a good reset. Like, you know, the three guys that we're playing obviously are going to come back and say, oh, like we just talked about, it's going to be, all right, back to business as usual, like get into our game. But the other guys that took a break and had a chance to just get away from the grind of a losing season, I think it's going to do wonders for them. I think they're going to come back with a fresh mindset. And I think what we need to see from them is just coming together as a team and developing their identity, playing the right way. You know, there's younger guys in the lineup that are going to get some looks and they're going to get more minutes. And I think we need to see the veterans kind of set the tone for how they play and the style that they're going to play. Can they play a team game and find that identity? You know, last year it was relentless. You know, they haven't been relentless. They need to find a new identity or find that relentless game that they had last year. And I think that's the challenge that they need to come together. And with a fresh mindset, I think that's going to be a good, you know, you have your iPhone and you hit the buttons on each side and reset the whole thing. And it comes back and it works. And it works normal. I think that this break is that little reset that they need.
For sure. We'll get it going again this Saturday. Skillsy, thanks as always. We'll see you this week.
Yeah, and I'm excited to get back. I mean, hey, everyone enjoyed the break, but, you know, I'm excited for Thursday night's game and then back to being a Preds fan and watching these guys go out and do their thing.
Yeah, us too. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see you Saturday.
Sounds good. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Hal Gill, Predators analyst, joining us. You can see him on TV on the FanDuel Sports Network and hear him on the radio as well on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll come back with more. We'll get back into our question of the day, which has gotten a lot of reactions.
Yes, right.
We should have asked Hal that because, you know, being a Northeasterner, I'm sure.
What do you think his answer is?
Yes. You learned that very quickly.
Right.
For sure. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe live in the Omni, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Tuesday. Are we the whole damn show today?
Yes, like sir, it. We little, are.
Little Rob Van Dam bringing us back. You just kind of feeling some RVD?
I am.
I like it. It's good. Gets us in the wrestling spirit. That is for sure. We're going to get into something at 10 o'clock. that we've talked about a little bit, but just I think it's a conversation that needs to be had involving a prominent former Titans employee.
Yes. It didn't hit the news cycle. It hit the news cycle this weekend, but there was so much going on that it wasn't talked about. And we need to talk about it because I don't know. You want to talk about it now?
Well, I was going to do something else here.
All right, go ahead. Stay at 10 o'clock. You'll want to hear this.
Yeah, 10 o'clock we will get into it. Now, it's hard to believe 24 years ago today, we lost Dale Earnhardt.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
February 18th, 2001.
Where were you? 500. Were you watching?
Yep. I was doing like I did this year. I was watching, sitting on the couch, watching all day. I was, I was in the seventh grade, so I was 13? No, 12? 13. I was 13. Watching it, I was at mom's and watching the race like I always did and everything and, you know, how it all unfolded. And, you know, what's crazy is I even saw him wreck. You know, I saw the wreck and I was like, well, yeah. Dale's going to be mad. But, you know, at least his car won. He'll be happy about that. But
nobody saw that.
No.
Nobody.
You watched the Ryan Preece's wreck from this past Daytona 500 and you go, well, that guy should be dead.
Right.
Like, you watch Dale, and it's just like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Who was it when the car came resting in the infield? Who was it that ran over?
Kenny Schroeder.
Waving people over. Because he knew, right?
Yeah, and so there's a great clip of him with Dale Jr. From a few years ago on the Dale Jr. download. And they do this great interview and everything, and, you know, Schroeder and Dale Sr. were really tight. And, you know, he tells a story about there's a famous kind of like in racing lore called the week. And Dale Jr. was probably like 15, 16 years old. And he goes and spends a week with Kenny Schroeder and some of the guys that ran around with Dale racing. And that was kind of like Dale Jr.'s kind of like coming of age, you know, because he grew up a lot that week. And, and everything. And so they were telling that story, and like Schroeder said, you know, I told you one thing, don't let your dad look you in the eye and don't let him smell you because he'd been drinking. And Dale Jr. let both of those happen.
Right.
But anyway, at the end of the interview, he says, you know, there's something I've been wanting to tell you and wanting to say. And so I wrote it down and he reads it and basically thank you for protecting, you know, our dad, like the worst moment of dad's life, mm-hmm. protecting that moment and that secret, because Schroeder won't talk about it. But he knew. I mean, I think he looked in and he knew. You know, and the only thing he's ever said was, I knew it was real bad.
Right.
And because he, you know, he's telling the story of, like, you know, got out of the car and was going to walk over and kind of shoot the breeze with Dale, be like, well, you know, there's another one. And I got over to the window and I looked in and I knew it was bad.
Oh, man.
And, you know, they, as we've kind of later found out as the research happened, that, you know, the way that they didn't have the head neck restraint devices, that the Hans device is what it's called,
right,
had just come out, and some drivers were wearing it, some weren't, but it wasn't mandatory. Dale was old school. He still had the open face helmet, you know, didn't wear any kind of head neck restraint. There's a lot of the older guys didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially, you know, even though it looked harmless, getting turned, going 180 miles per hour, and then going straight into the wall.
Looked harmless is a great way to describe that.
You know?
To do that. I went to the movie. I don't forget. I went to the movie today. I saw Hannibal. And I came back, and it was like, Dale Sr. had died and all that. I'll never forget that there was a sportscaster at Channel 2 who said, it was not John Dwyer, who said that Dale received a vicious tap from Sterling Marlin.
Right.
So Sterling Marlin was already back in Nashville because plane was already back at his house. So Sterling goes crazy and says, some powdered up pretty boy on local news blamed me for this wreck, and it was not my fault.
Yeah.
And then it took a whole turn. Not only the fact that Dale Sr. had passed away, But now the blame game had started, and it just took off. You probably don't remember that, but we were like,
"Oh, I know, I do," because there were people that,
because all the TV stations were like, "Who's he talking about?" Because you know, and it came back to be Channel 2 at the time, and he just, and it was, so damage control started.
Yeah.
So the tentacles of this accident just took off to far-reaching places. The next week, I had to go to Rockingham to cover, and that's when Dell Jr. got in a wreck on
like the first or second lap. Yep. Yeah. But then Steve Park, who drove for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated, won the race.
Yep.
What was crazy about all that is Sterling got blamed, and it wasn't Sterling's fault.
No,
it was a racing deal. I mean, it was one of those tragic racing accidents. But so Sterling, you know, went on with Dale and Dale Jr. and didn't really talk about it much. But then Dale Jr., you know, explained that, you know, he does. He goes, the thing about Sterling is he didn't like to talk about that day either. But he all apparently, according to like people in his circle, he goes back periodically, even I think to this day, and watches the end of that race.
Sterling
does, to see what he did wrong, to see if he did anything wrong. He holds that guilt, even though he didn't do it. I mean, it wasn't, again, like it was a. I mean, the crazy thing about it all was Dale Earnhardt was doing a non-typical Dale Earnhardt thing.
Correct, right?
He was blocking. He wasn't trying to win.
He was an owner.
He wanted his son. It was for his son. But Michael Waltrip was like one of his best friends. And he wanted one of those guys to win that race. And, you know, a lot of people, even to this day, said Dale had the best car. Like, if Dale wanted to go past those guys, he could have. And you know, it's just crazy. But I sit back and I think, and, you know, like I go back to this Daytona 500. That wreck with Ryan Preece.
Right.
Right? You know, they had started down the road of safety and looking at the cars and looking like, you know, we need to fix this. And because the drivers had even said, you know, with this package and the way we're driving at these super speedway tracks, somebody's going to get killed. And at that point, two drivers – Adam Petty, Richard Petty's grandson, Kyle Petty's son, and Kenny Irwin Jr. had died the year before at New Hampshire, which wasn't a super speedway. It was a mile, but you got real fast there, and it was the same way. Basically, there's a name for it, but it essentially what it was is you hit the wall at such a hard impact, your neck like snaps.
Yeah, right.
Essentially snaps your neck.
Ugh,
you know?
Okay.
And so, sorry. I was trying to describe that the best I could. And that's what happened to Dale. But, you know, when you're most popular, the face of your sport, when it's him, you know, even though one of the guys had the last name of Petty, it was one of those like, okay, we got to do something. So they put the Hans device became mandatory,
right.
Full face helmets. They started making the Car of Tomorrow, which, you know, hurt the sport but helped it at the same time.
Okay.
It was a necessary evil, like they needed to. And the safe walls, you know, the safer barriers, the soft walls, they put those in. At the end of the day, it's still a dangerous sport.
All right, let me ask you this. Had he died at, let's say, Atlanta, it would have been tragic. It's awful. But to die in your sport's biggest moment.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't, I mean, I, you don't want to write that script, but
no,
it's just, you look back at that thinking, man, what the hell overall of all this?
I know. And it's the, like this, the sadness is, and if you're a big Dale Sr. fan, I highly recommend going back and, you know, listening to some of the Dale Jr. Download, because he kind of started that show to learn more about his dad,
yeah.
You know, was kind of that thing. And like, he's talked about it multiple times that the really hard part with it was, you know, he and his dad were really starting to have a good relationship,
right.
You know, there at the end. And, you know, Dale Sr. was in a really good place. You know, I think he was kind of looking at, he was 49. He was
49.
He was looking at,
gosh,
you know, racing a few more years, but he had just finished runner up in the championship. A lot of people thought 2001 he was going to win 8. He was going to break Petty's record.
Right.
who's going to win the eighth and then probably hang it up.
God, he'd be 73 now. Did you enjoy, because you know more about this than I do, the movie Three?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it was definitely a movie. And supposedly they're making another. They're actually doing a biopic that will be like in theaters and stuff.
I didn't understand, because I tell you, one of the greatest lines ever in a movie is, because you really saw the difference between Daryl Waltrip and Dale Earnhardt. And then in the movie, he walks by Waltrip's character and says, "Hey, Daryl, I heard you've been talking about me and heard you've been talking about me in the papers." And then Daryl Waltrip says, "Damn, Dale, I didn't know you could read." That's just a funny moment. Yeah. It always makes me laugh. But I enjoyed it. For somebody that's not into the sport like you are, I thought it got a lot right.
Yeah, and I mean,
it made him human.
Sure. And they had to, like, explain how he got the name Ironhead and Jaws. And, like, a lot of people, I will tell you, and I know we got to go to break, that one of the coolest things that I've ever gotten to do was there was a test at Nashville Super Speedway after they announced that they were going to come back and that the Cup Series was going to be there. And so I was doing the show from there that day, and DW was there, and there was a period in time where there was just nothing going on, and so I had finished up the show, and DW's just sitting there with me, and we're just kind of talking, just shooting the breeze, and we started talking about Dale, and like you could like read his eyes of like that was his friend, like that they had one of the best rivalries in the sport.
Oh yes.
But they had this amount of respect for each other, and then this friendship later on, and I just remember him looking at me. He goes, "Man, I miss my buddy, I really do." And it's a different time back then. So it's just hard to believe. 24 years ago today, as Mike Helton said when he made that announcement, we lost Dale Earnhardt. So. Just wanted to take a little time to talk about that. But coming up next, we're going to get into the Titans and someone that you said it when we were kind of setting this up. He needs to do something.
Yep.
But he can't. But he can't yet.
Right.
We'll discuss it coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.